Of Daniel chapter number one. Daniel chapter number one today. We're going to begin in Daniel chapter number one. Now, since we only had one special and still not doing choir and not doing offering, I'm getting up here pretty early. That means I can preach longer, right? not only are we going to look at Daniel chapter one today, we're going to look at Daniel chapters 1 through 6 today. And so we might need a few extra minutes there. It's a great portion of the Bible. I know probably at least once a year or every other year I'm looking at Daniel chapter 1 through 6 because there's so much that we can apply to our lives and so much that we can learn from, especially in the day and time that we're living in today. And when culture clashes with your convictions, what are you going to do? That word culture is something that has been bounced around a lot here, especially in the last couple months, with everybody demanding a culture change and this and that. And so I know there's it's like a buzzword that's a lot of people and a lot of preachers have been talking about these different things about culture and things like that. And the Lord laid upon my heart about what to do when culture clashes with your convictions. I've been reading a little bit about cultures and things like that, and I see the story here in the book of Daniel. They take Daniel from his homeland, they take him all the way to Babylon, and their plan is not for the Babylonians to learn the Israelites' ways. No. They're going to take Daniel and they're going to try to make him a little Babylonian. So that culture the Babylonians had and the culture that Daniel had was completely different. So what are you going to do when culture conflicts with your convictions? And Daniel here in the stories of Daniel chapter 1 through 6, you see it happened multiple times. But you see something here at the beginning he does, which is he purposes in his heart. Then he continues to take a stand, and then he just keeps on doing what he was doing beforehand too. So those are the three main points today we're going to look at. And let's look here in Daniel chapter number 1. We're going to hop in and just read the first 8 verses and set the tone here and the scene here a little bit. Remember, Daniel was taken away from his parents, taken away from his priests, taken away probably from his grandparents. He might have even seen them killed right in front of his eyes. Who knows? But he is going to make a decision, and he is determining, he is purposing in his heart that he was not going to let anything defile his heart. And he does this on his own. I know he has the 3 friends that are there too. But the point is, no one would have blamed Daniel if he chose to just get used to this culture. He knew he's going to be there for a long period of time. And he knew they didn't want to cause any problems or ruffle any feathers. But no. He says, you know what? I have something that I believe. And I'm going to hold to what I believe, even if the culture I'm living in is telling me something different. Even if the culture that I'm living in is telling me that I have to agree with them, I have to believe what they say. And then he says, no, I'm going to choose to take a stand, and I'm going to choose to continue on doing those things I know that are right, despite what culture says to us. And the world and day that we live in, maybe in the past, it seems like we were a Christian nation. And I know it seems like because of all the liberal media and all the different things happening, it seems like nobody agrees with us nowadays. That's just not true. I think it's just that the liberal media tells us a bunch of lies. And because of that, we don't know, there's still maybe even a majority still, but we are quickly losing ground for people that are going to be biblical thinkers, that are going to be biblical believers. And today, in the time that we live in, we're going to have to answer this question for ourselves. Are we going to believe what the culture is telling us, because the culture seems to be changing, or are we going to believe what our convictions tell us, or what the Word of God tells us? And then that's what our convictions should be. They should be from the Scriptures and from the Word of God. And like I said, it's going to span 6 different chapters. I am going to assume that you at least have a little bit of a working knowledge of the book of Daniel. If you do not, I'm sorry. I hope you don't get lost in it. I don't think you will, but if you get lost, you'll have to go read the first 6 chapters yourself. This is a young man that was taken from his homeland in the Israel area, and he was moved all the way to Babylon, and they were going to try to make him a Babylonian. So let's jump in here. Daniel chapter number 1, let's start in verse number 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. So the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were known for worshiping multiple gods. They're very superstitious people. They had people that were wise men, astrologers, people that would just that would lie and say they could tell the future. And he brought the vessels into the treasurer's house of his God. And the king spake to Asbenas, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel of the king's seed and of the princes. So you see here that Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I want you to take the best of the best, and I want you to bring them back. And look what he wants to do to them. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might, now look at this, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So he's not interested in learning about Israel. He's just conquered Israel. Nebuchadnezzar says, I want you to bring the best. I want you to bring the brightest. I want you to know the people that know how to behave, that know how to stand in the king's palace. I want you to bring them all the way over here, and I want you to indoctrinate them. I want you to teach them the language of the Chaldeans. I want you to teach them the ways of the Chaldeans. Let's keep on going. Verse number 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, to be indoctrinated, to have a culture that change, it's going to take time. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar is saying here. He says, look, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this for 3 years. I want you to take the time to make sure that that at the end that they won't be missing home at all. Instead, they'll love the way of the Chaldeans. Let's keep on going. And now among these three were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It's amazing that we all know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't even know their Hebrew names many times, but they're the ones that actually worship the one true God. And because of the sake of time, I won't go show you what they mean in Israel and what they meant and their new names. But they were one that was worshiping the one true God, and now they're going to change their names. They're going to change their desire is to change them from being a Bible believer. You say, well, he didn't have the Bible. Well, if you go and study, he probably had a book, at least part of Jeremiah, and he had the Old Testament that was written and then things that were put inside his heart. But they were a God-fearing people to a Chaldean worshiper. Let's keep on going. And it said, verse number 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, or he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning as we consider what to do when the culture clashes with your convictions. What to do when the culture clashes or contradicts your convictions. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. God, we live in a day and a time where it seems like everyone is trying to indoctrinate us with untruth. They're telling us what we must believe, and they're telling us that we must be someone that is willing to be tolerant of sin. God, I pray that you help us today. I pray that we leave this place with a purposed heart, that we're going to live according to the Bible, no matter what the culture says, no matter how many people change, no matter how many people in America change their thinking. We want to be biblically minded thinking people, or we want to have the right view of God. And Lord, I pray as we look at the story of Daniel, we see how you were able to bless his life as the stories went along, time and time again. Lord, we know that we're living what it seems like in the last days, and it seems like it's getting really, really close. And we're going to be challenged and tested unlike generations before us. Lord, what we need to have is some Christians that are willing to take a stand and willing to do what is right, no matter what this world is saying. Lord, encourage us today. Encourage us to see how you worked in Daniel's life and how many of the rulers of that day were on their face just praising you because of the example that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you say, well, Pastor, you use the word culture a lot, and I think most of us have kind of an understanding what that is, but I'll give you a definition. Culture is the outward working of an inward belief of a specific group of people. It's what someone is believing inside, and they're letting it show on the outside. And there's some different things. Culture is a group of people adhering to a system of beliefs. That system of beliefs can be right, it can be wrong. But no matter what, they're still going to believe it and adhere to it nonetheless. Now, the culture system will guide people's thoughts. They will guide what they should be doing and what they should not be doing and how they should be treating one another. And now, as before, as a nation that I believe was based on Christian principles, we had a certain culture that where there was a biblical standard, and many times for the majority of the Americans, they would want to live by a biblical standard. They had something that they chose to live by. But as time has gone along, we've learned something. Culture is something that is changing. Culture is something that can be changed for the better. It can be changed for the worse. Culture is something also that is learned. You don't get born as a baby, and as you're born as a baby, it's something that you already grow up, hey, I'm going to be part of this culture. I'm going to be part of this. It's something that you're learned as a child. Now, can you change your culture? The obvious answer is yes. And also, culture is something that is shared. It's integrated into a person's daily lives and the people's lives. So I want you to understand that the culture that we live in today, it seems as if it's going farther and farther away from God and becoming anti-God. And as if you are a Bible believer, if you're someone who wants to live according to biblical principles, you're going to have to come to this point and answer this question for yourself. What am I going to do when I'm faced with this challenge? Now, what am I going to do when I'm faced with the challenge that culture says I have to listen to this, I have to be tolerant of this, and I have to do all these things, and what am I going to do if it goes against my biblical convictions and my biblical beliefs? And it's not something I think that we should let it slide little by little, because culture changes in our thought process, but what's inside of us sooner or later will come out. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what are you going to do? And the first thing, or what can you do? The first thing I think you need to do, and I want to encourage you with, is purpose in your heart. What are you going to purpose in your heart? Well, you leave what the scripture says here in verse number 8. He says he wanted to purpose, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not what? Defile. That's right. He says, look, the word defile means to desecrate, to soil. What it's saying here, I'm not going to let the things of Babylon, I'm not going to let, even though I've been taken of a culture that was a God-fearing, at least he lived in a God-fearing culture because of the stand he is taking. Maybe it was in his home, maybe it was in his family. Obviously, Israel had turned their back on God, and that's why Israel was being punished, and they were taking the Israelites, and they were the people from Judah, and moving them over here. But Daniel, someone taught him. We don't know what Daniel's parents names are. We don't know who Daniel's grandparents' names are. We don't know who Daniel's religious or spiritual leaders were, but someone taught this boy something that was right and something that was good. And you know what? He learned something that when he got over here in this other culture, he believed that there was a one true God. And he says, no matter what happens, no matter where you drop me at, no matter where you put me at, I want a purpose in my heart that I'm not going to let the culture I live in desecrate, not soil my belief in God. We got to come to this point and say, hey, no matter what happens in this world, I'm not going to let anything defile what I think about my God. That word purpose means he became steadfast. And as you know the story, and you see all the ups and downs that he goes through in these first six chapters, you got to say, that is a guy that was steadfast. That is a guy that when he purposed in his heart, in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, he was faced with challenge after challenge after challenge. And he taught us something. He showed us something. You can live for God in an ungodly culture. You can live for God despite the fact that the rest of the world says that you can't and that you should change and that you have to bow, you have to eat this, you have to drink this, you have to say that homosexuality is okay, you have to say that abortion is okay, you have to say that the sanctity of marriage doesn't really matter. You have to say these things, but Daniel stands up and shows us something. He says, look, I'm not going to let what the king says, I'm not going to let what the culture dictates, what I believe, I'm going to purpose in my heart, I'm not going to let anything defile me. I think that's the first thing we need to understand is first, biblical convictions. If you don't have a biblical conviction, you need to repent of it. You need to get in your Bible. You need to say, I need to learn from the Word of God what it is that the Bible says, and I believe it, and I truly want to live according to what the Word of God says. Now, I know there may be differing opinions, there might be difference in preferences, there might be little things that make a difference, but many times that little things that are different is because somebody wants to cover up their sin or make an excuse for their sin. What the scripture is saying here is Daniel was taken from his homeland. He was never going to have to answer to mom and dad again. He knew he's never going to have to answer to his grandparents, his priests. But he knew that there was a God in heaven that he was going to have to answer to someday. So he said, I don't care if you take me all these miles away and you put me in this new place. You dress me up. You give me the finest wines. You give me the finest meats. He says, you can do whatever you want to me. But I'm going to purpose in my heart that no matter what someone offers me, no matter what someone telling me, I'm not going to let any of that defile me. I think the first thing we need to do is make a commitment and talk to the Lord and ask the Lord and find out what we believe and why we believe it and build up a foundation of the Word of God and what the Bible teaches and that foundation and say, you know what, this is truth and I'm not going to let anything defile me from this truth. Unfortunately, it seems like Christians today, and even as I'm reading, I think good hearted people and people that are sincere, but they become sincerely wrong because they're buying into the lies of what the culture is telling them, and it's just not truth. It's contrary to the Word of God, and they need to say, look, I'm not going to let this ideology, I'm not going to let these thoughts, I'm not going to let these things that people are trying, these movements that people are trying to push down my throat, tell me what I should believe and what I should not believe. I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm not going to let these things defile me. That's the first point I want you to think about. Don't let something defile what you know is truth. Don't question in the dark what God gave you in the light. Second thing I want you to think about is take a stand. Now, there's a proper way to take a stand. And you'll see this here in Daniel chapter number 1. He goes and he asks in verse number 8. He says to him, he says, at the end of the verses, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know what? When we are doing what we are supposed to, God's going to make a way for it to work. God is going to, he requested. He didn't go up to that eunuch because what is he? He's a captured slave for the most part. He didn't go up there and he didn't demand. He says, I'm not going to eat that. He doesn't do that. He requested. You know what he's doing? He's giving God a chance to work. Sometimes we feel like, hey, there's no way God's going to work. There's no way. That's when we're losing our faith. He requests of the eunuch, and the eunuch responds, and Daniel has the opportunity to tell him and give God a chance to work. And at the end, it says that he was 10 times better by eating the things that they did not serve him and the three Hebrew children. Taking a stand sometimes involves saying hard things. Taking a stand sometimes involves saying hard things. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3, Daniel is not in the story here about the bowing down of the big giant idol. And once again, I'm assuming that you have a little bit of familiarity with the story, but King Nebuchadnezzar, because of a dream he had in Daniel chapter number 2, and God is trying to work in his heart, but he ignored him, he builds this big giant statue, and he commands all the people to bow down, at least all his leaders to bow down to him. But there's three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that say, I'm not going to bow down, and what they do is they say something that is difficult. They take a stand. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, he says, if it be so, in Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, being known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So when we take a stand, sometimes we have to say difficult things. Sometimes people don't mind that. I don't mind telling somebody what I think. I don't mind telling somebody off. That's not what's being said here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe that as they were creating this giant statue, they would have known what was going to happen. They would have known that they were going to have to bow down. They had purpose in their heart, just like Daniel. He says, this is something I'm not going to let defile me. I'm not going to bow down because the Bible taught me and what they learned before, the Ten Commandments, that there should be no other God before me. And Daniel says, I'm not going to eat that wine. I'm not going to eat that meat. I'm not going to drink that wine because it's been sacrificed before idols. I don't want to let that defile defile myself. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego look to what might have been the most powerful man to ever live. You say, why? Because of how much of the kingdom that he reigned and how much he had and that he was in charge. He was one of the great emperors of all time. And he looks at him and he says, look, we're not careful to answer you. He's saying, look, what we had to say is difficult for me to say, but you know what? It doesn't bother me to say it because I know what I'm doing is right. I know I'm not supposed to bow down to that. I know that I'm not supposed to be doing those things. My God tells me I'm not supposed to be doing them. So because of that, I'm not careful. It doesn't bother me to say this, that we're not going to bow down and that our God is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out. Can you imagine these three Hebrew children looking at him and saying, he's able to deliver us and he will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down because we're not going to let that idol defile us. You go to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in that dream, Daniel says in verse number 19, if you want to flip and follow along, in Daniel 19, Daniel's called to interpret the dream. Daniel's done that before. Daniel doesn't just give him the message that he wants to hear. No, Daniel gives him the message that God gives him. It says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream to be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. So Daniel had another time where he had to, if you're going to take a stand, you're going to do what's right. Sometimes you got to speak the truth, and sometimes the truth is going to hurt. And that's what he's saying in verse number 19 to Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, this is not something that you're going to like. This is not something that's good. And you see that Nebuchadnezzar later on, I believe, is one that he gets his heart right. And even in chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar, many people believe he is the author of it. Because it says in verse number 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Because Daniel told him the truth and told him what God wanted him to hear, Nebuchadnezzar could work, and God worked in his heart. Daniel chapter number 5, there's another time when Daniel has to give out a hard message as he takes a stand. Daniel chapter number 5, in this story, Belshazzar was the king. And Belshazzar, there was a finger that went and read a message, and they brought Daniel out and asked Daniel to interpret the message. He could have said something that was a lie. He could have said something that was easy. He could have said something that made him popular and the king to love him. But instead, he tells him the truth. Verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ophasarin. I probably mispronounced all those, but I'm sorry. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God have numbered thy kingdom and finish it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Once again, he's looking at a powerful emperor and he's saying, look, God has counted it up. And he says, you're done. It's over with. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that if you take a stand, sometimes the message is going to be difficult to say. Sometimes the message is going to be something that people don't want to hear. Sometimes the message is going to be something that needs to be said because it's going to help them understand where they're at and where they're needed. One of the cool things I find in this story, I find Nebuchadnezzar on his face praising God in chapter number 2. I find Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 3 on his face praising God. In chapter number 4, I find him on his face again praising God. You know why? It's because someone told him the truth and he understood the truth and he finally got his heart right. So sometimes if you're going to take a stand, it's going to have to say some things that are difficult. But also if you're going to take a stand, you should lift up God during your stand. You should lift up God during your stand. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? Never once do you see in the book of Daniel, in chapter 1 through 6, that Daniel's bringing some type of credit to himself. God allowed him to just eat that pulse and that drink that water and be 10 times better than anyone else. God allowed him to interpret a dream in chapter number 2. God allowed the three Hebrew children to walk through a fiery furnace. And God allowed him in chapter number 4 to interpret a dream. God allowed him in chapter number 5 to be able to read what was written. In chapter number 6, he was able to live and able to spend the night in the lion's den. You know, all these special, miraculous things that God allowed Daniel and the Hebrew children to be part of. But each time, what do you see him doing? They're lifting up God. And when you take a stand, when culture contradicts your convictions, yes, you need a purpose in your heart, because if you don't purpose in your heart, you know what? You're going to change with the culture. And if you don't purpose in your heart, you're going to start swaying. But you need to learn how to take a stand. But this stand is something that, yes, there are difficult things that need to be said, but you need to lift up God during it. People need to see God. They don't need to see your intelligence. They don't need to see your anger, your frustration. They need to see the God that lives in you, and that you're giving God an opportunity, a chance, and a chance to work. And so many times we see people saying certain things and being angry and being mad and showing off. That's fine if you're being led by God, but if you're not being led by God, then keep your mouth quiet. Because we want God to work. We want God to move. God is the only help for this nation. God is the only hope. And yes, the culture is going to contradict your convictions, but throughout this whole time, you should be lifting him up. Daniel is over there, and Daniel's praising God in chapter 1. Daniel in chapter number 2. Go ahead and go to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 has one of my favorite verses in it, in all the Bible. Daniel chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. In this dream, Nebuchadnezzar wants his wise men to interpret. They can't do it. You mean that the wise men and the astrologers and all the people he paid all that money to couldn't tell him the dream? Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to tell me the dream and I want you to tell the meaning. And they said, nobody can do that. And he says, look, if you tell me the dream, then we'll tell you what it means. Nebuchadnezzar was smarter than that. So Nebuchadnezzar's there, and Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, look, if these astrologers and these wise men and these people can't answer my question, just kill them all. Well, Daniel and his three friends were put there, and they were inside that group. Do I believe they were astrologers? No. Do I believe they were? No. They were fearing, God-fearing people. Well, Daniel comes, and Daniel tells the guy, hey, look, we can help. And so in Daniel chapter number 2, he's before Nebuchadnezzar again. And as he's before Nebuchadnezzar, he gives him the answer. Look what it says in verses 27 and 28. Actually, we'll do verse number 26 to set the scene. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now, so what Nebuchadnezzar is asking, he says, look, can you do this? Daniel has a chance right now to get something. Daniel can say, yeah, I know. God's already given the interpretation of the dream. Yeah, of course I can do that. But he doesn't. Look what it says in verse 27. It says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, and the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. He's reminding them, you pay all these guys all this money, you let them live in luxury, they can't help you. Verse 28 is one of my favorite verses. He says, but there is a God. I love that phrase. The world can't help you. The soothsayers, the astrologers, wise men, all your false gods that are out there, they can't do this. But there is a God. And that's the answer. I don't know what your problem is today. I don't know what your issues are today. And yes, the world not be, but there is a God. And he says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So Daniel is, what is he doing? He is lifting up his God. He is showing Nebuchadnezzar, yes, view all this, Nebuchadnezzar. You're an emperor. You're a wise man. All these other things. There's a long list of people and a long list of God. They can't do it, but there is a God in heaven. And I'm here to tell you that there is a God in heaven that can do all things and can help with any situation. Just as he put Nebuchadnezzar on his face praising God, he can do the same with the people that are today if he chooses to. And we're supposed to have faith that way. We're supposed to live that way. The stand that we need to take, yes, sometimes we have to say hard things. But while we're saying those hard things, God needs to be lifted up. God needs to be exalted. God needs to be glorified. And that's what Daniel does here. He doesn't say, yes, king, I got this job. I got it taken care of. He doesn't bring attraction to himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, go back to chapter number 3. You look in verses 17 and 18. He says, our God is able to deliver us. He's bringing, what is he doing? He's saying, look at our God, Nebuchadnezzar. You think you can take us out. You think it because we don't bow down, because we don't listen to your culture, you are in control of us. But no, our God is able to deliver us and will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to let you defile us. I want to encourage you today, take a stand. And yes, taking a stand means that we need to say hard things sometimes. But God needs to be lifted up. So as we come across the culture that is clashing against us and telling us, you need to accept this, you need to be tolerant of this, and I don't want to try to be mean, but tolerance is not something that people are trying to say, you know, God is the one that's been tolerable for all sinners. God was the one that was inclusive, saying that all men could repent, and he's not willing that any should perish and that you can know. But you know what? He's not tolerable sin. And we don't have to be taught. We don't have to let these things defile us. I see a young people and the generations that are coming, they've let the culture sometimes change them, and they let it defile their heart to the point that they're believing things that are a lie, that's going against the word of God. And it's because the culture is shifting. But what are we going to do when the culture contradicts what your convictions are? The third thing. And even though Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 28 is one of my favorite verses in Daniel, Daniel chapter number 6 is one of my favorite parts of the story. So go ahead and take to Daniel chapter number 6. Not only should we purpose in our heart, which means I'm making it steadfast, I'm not going to let things defile me, take a stand, but also we should continue to do what we know is right. Continue to do what we know is right. Once again, I'm thinking that you know at least a little familiar with the story of Daniel. In Daniel chapter number 6, he is now faced with another trial. He's being told that he has to no longer could he bow or pray or worship any other god but the emperor. Daniel has a choice. Culture is saying you can't worship your god. Culture is saying you cannot pray to your god. Now, Daniel has a choice. Am I going to let what culture says dictate what I believe and what my convictions are going to do? Or am I going to continue to believe what I've always believed and what I know is right and what I know is true? Am I going to let my convictions stand true? Look what it says in Daniel chapter 6, and let's look what it says, and we'll go ahead and start in verse number 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And what is this decree? These other people that were jealous of Daniel was saying, hey, look, we can't find anything wrong with him. Let's try to get him caught and get him in trouble about the god he worships. And they convinced the king. It says in verse number 7, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're saying, let's make this decree that no one can ask or no one can pray, no one can count on any other god but you, O king, because you're the great God. Verse number 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing, of course, playing off his pride. He says, yeah, that sounds good to me, and the decree. So Daniel has a choice. He knows he's not supposed to be worshiping this king. He knows he's supposed to be worshiping the one true God. What will Daniel do? It says in verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God. And I love that last phrase, as he did aforetime. Daniel didn't get his religion just because the culture was changing. Daniel didn't get the religion because of the fact that they had signed a decree and his life was on the line. Daniel, many years ago, beforehand, had purpose in his heart that I'm not going to let these things defile me. And so when it came time to whether he was going to bow or whether or not he was not going to pray, what does he do? It says he went and he opened up his windows and he prayed as he did aforetime. So what the scripture is saying there, it was the same thing that he had done each and every day. He was not going to let this defile him. He wasn't going to let the fact that culture was saying one thing defile him for what he knew was right. He wasn't going to let what the king had signed defile or change what his convictions were. Instead, he said, I'm going to just go ahead and pray like I used to. I want to encourage you today. Continue to do what's right. Continue. Look what it says in chapter number 6. And look what it says in verse number 5. Actually, let's go to verse number 3. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was with him, was in him. And the king thought to see him over the whole realm. I love that phrase, excellent spirit. That's what Daniel was, a man of God, but he was someone who still was able to control his spirit. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion for fault nor fault. Look what it says in verse number 4. They went and they watched him day in and day out, and they could not find any type of fault with him. Don't come follow me around for a couple days. You're going to find something wrong with me. You're going to find something. Hey, he does this wrong, or he spends too much time here, or he's too lazy. You're going to find something with me. But they're saying that these men went and they watched Daniel, and guess what? Couldn't find anything wrong with him. And it keeps on going. And it says, they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The only thing we can find that he does wrong is he loves his God too much. I don't know about you. You know what he did? He kept on doing what he knew he was supposed to do. It gave God a chance to work. He became 10 times better in chapter number 1 by eating what he knew what was right. He was able to interpret the dream, and the most powerful emperor probably of all time is before his face, falling on his face, praising the God of Daniel. Chapter number 3, they are rescued from the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar once again is praising. Chapter number 4, he is there, and at the end of the chapter, they're praising Daniel. Chapter number 5, you see this man, and he's there. God gives him the opportunity to interpret what was written on the wall. Chapter number 6, he's there. They cast him into the lion's den. He is delivered all night long. And what happens? At the end of the chapter, Darius, who was the guy in charge, the king, he's praising the God of Daniel. Daniel gave God a chance to work because even though the culture changed, he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to let the culture defile me or change my convictions. Not only did he do that, he took a stand when necessary. He said things that were difficult while taking the stand, but he always did it to glorify God. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever you do, whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. And then he kept on doing what he knew was right. They followed him around. They couldn't find anything wrong. And when it came time that there was a culture said, stop praying or die, he said, I'd rather pray than defile myself. So how does this apply today? If you can't see it on the news and where the world's headed, maybe you need to be a little bit more in the know. Because the culture is getting farther and farther away from God. And there is more and more people that are agreeing with it. And it's going to come to a time in a moment, unless the Lord returns, America is going to be a place where the culture is going to clash or contradict the convictions that come from the Word of God. Daniel didn't make the decision when they signed the decree. Daniel, back in chapter number 1, verse number 8, he made the decision, and he followed through with it. And to be honest with you, I think he made the decision way back in Judah before he ever got there. So that's why it's important for young people to know what the Word of God says and make decisions. It's easy to preach about young people because most of us aren't young people. I'm old. I'm going back up. They say it's downhill. I think it feels more like it's going uphill when you're getting older. But Daniel here, he made a decision. He purposed it in our, we need to make that decision. Tomorrow there's going to be new challenges. A month from now there's going to be new challenges. You know, November, no matter what the election happens, there's still going to be new challenges. There's going to be even really greater challenges if more liberal, God-hating people get into office. But we need to decide, am I going to let the culture tell me what my conviction should be? We would all say, no, of course not. But how do we live? Do we give God a chance? Daniel could have said, well, they're making me eat it. They're making me drink it. I don't have a choice. He requested. He gave God a chance. Daniel chapter number 2, God gave him the ability to interpret the dream. Daniel chapter number 3, they refused to bow. Daniel chapter number 4, he told the guy a hard message. Daniel chapter 5, another hard, he gave God a chance to work every single time. You know what God did? He didn't disappoint. I don't know what culture is going to be like in 5 years, 10 years from now. 20 years, 30 years. If the Lord doesn't return and, you know, our kids and grandkids are getting their 20s, 30s, and 40s, they're going to have to determine now and today, I need a purpose in my heart, that this is how I'm going to live, not what culture tells me. And the issue is, they need to see it from us. Taking a stand here. The world's going crazy. I'm going to do what's right. Purpose in your heart. Now, before I close, I do want to say, in Daniel chapter number 4, as far as what I see, we see him calling out to the one true living God. And I think Nebuchadnezzar got his heart right. Man, he was wicked. He was evil. God loved him. God was willing to allow him to come to know him. I want to tell you this morning that it doesn't matter what you've ever done in your life or what you've believed before. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. It's the greatest one with the greatest action, offering the greatest invitation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word should not perish means that we are perishing. Now, it's not speaking about a physical death. We all die physically. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it says there will not be a spiritual death, in the idea that when you die and leave this world, there's a horrible place called hell. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what? God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I want to encourage you today, find out what it means to be a Christian. Find out what it means to ask Christ to save you. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation. We'd love for you to come forward. Brother Joe is going to be down here in front of the front of the pulpit. And if you don't know for sure, if you died today, I don't even know if we're going to be here next week. To be honest with you, the way things are going, I'm not talking about shutting down the church. I'm talking about Christ coming back for his church. So I don't even know how many of us are going to be here. So you want to make sure you get this settled today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure if you die today that you go to heaven, come forward during the invitation. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. And if you're not, if you are saved, purpose in your heart today. He said, Pastor, I've already done it. I think that the decision that he made was made day after day after day in this culture, because the culture is always changing. There's a new decision. Nope, by purpose in my heart, I'm not going to let it defile me. I'm not going to let it desecrate me. I'm not going to let it soil me. I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence, because I know out of it are the issues of life. Make the choice today. And then maybe there's some place that you were supposed to be taking a stand. Maybe there's some difficult things that need to be said. Make sure you do it in a way that's honoring and lifting up God and not lifting up yourself. And then do what you know you're supposed to do, day in and day out. So what's the big deal for that? You're giving God a chance to work. If Daniel had just closed the windows, oh, I'm not going to make a scene, you know, they might have never known. Daniel just said, well, it's only 30 days, I'm not going to pray. God would never have given Darius that chance to know him that way. Praise the Lord that God works through us, even though we are so unworthy. Give him a chance today. What to do when the culture contradicts your convictions. I want to encourage you today. Purpose in your heart. Take a stand and do what you know you're supposed to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, for a day such as this, you've put us here in this time, in this moment. We don't understand why, but we are here. And I'm sure Daniel didn't understand why. I'm sure the culture that was against the disciples back in the New Testament couldn't figure it out. But Lord, they just remained faithful. Help us, God. Purpose in our heart. We're not going to let things defile us. Help us to take a stand, the right type of stand, and help us to do what we know we're supposed to do. So that way you can work the same way that you work in the lives of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Speak to people's hearts, Lord. In your word, you said your word will not return void. And Lord, we want this sermon to work in each person's heart today. In such a trying time, or that we will know what to do when the culture contradicts our convictions. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, that they would come to a saving knowledge of you because of the love that you have for them and what Christ did on the cross for them. In Jesus' name, amen.